Welcome to King James Seminary. We appreciate you coming in tonight and bringing your Bibles with you. And we also appreciate those folks who are listening via the recorded lesson. All those who are members of King James, the seminary, and also those who are faithful students to the Word of God. Tonight we will be looking at Daniel chapter 10. So if you would turn there in your Bibles, please. And those of you who have seminary notes, please take those out. We'll be going over those. Daniel chapter 10. The title is The Prophecy of the Chrysolite Man. Daniel chapter 10. We'll wait a moment for you all to get organized, seated. Find your places. Okay. Let's start out with verse 1 by itself. Daniel chapter 10. Okay, quote, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. End quote. Here we see Daniel establishing the setting of the vision that will consist of the following remaining chapters of this book. So this one vision that we are about to begin here today in this lesson will take up the last remaining chapters of the book of Daniel. This is Daniel's final revelation, his final prophecy, which isn't really a continuation of the preceding prophecies or revelations. It is rather new in its, symbolism. In its technique, as far as literary technique. According to Usher's dating system, the date, the year, is 537 B.C. 537 B.C. Other authorities vary on this, and some put it up to, but probably no further past, 535 B.C. This prophecy easily breaks down into three sections, which come as chapter divisions, pretty much, for the modern reader. Chapter 10 is the introduction to the following two remaining chapters. By the third year of Cyrus, the return of the exiles had already begun, and the temple reconstruction was underway. Daniel was aged 93, by most calculations, but some have him at the age of only 88 at the third year of Cyrus. So, no matter what approximate age he is viewed, that is Daniel, he was not a young man at this time. Let those who are in their upper years not despair that God cannot use them anymore, because the Lord has shown us, through Daniel and others, that God uses men of all ages. some of the greatest leaders that the world has ever known were what we view today as elderly men. Daniel here in this verse reminds the reader of his given Chaldean name, which was perhaps more familiar to the readers during his time. The thing revealed in our chapter here, the thing revealed, or the word revealed, that is true, involved a long period of time. This, Daniel assures his readers, he understood. It was not because of Daniel's research that he understood this vision, as we had seen in a previous chapter. But this was that which was directly revealed to him and no other. Let's look at verses 2 through 4, please. 2 through 4. Quote, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel," end quote. Daniel is in a form of fasting, and this is close to the beginning of the Jewish New Year, which is roughly March of our present calendar system. So Daniel's fast was after the celebration of the New Year, or feast of the first new moon of the year. He began his special fast at the beginning of the month after that. And now 3 weeks had passed by. On day 24, Daniel was beside the river Hiddekel, which is known today as the Tigris River. The reason for the fasting and prayer is not given, but it could have been over the difficulties being encountered in the construction going on in Jerusalem, a place that was dear to the heart of Daniel. The Samaritans were giving the construction workers a very difficult time, which may have been of concern to Daniel. For that, see Ezra chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Details of what was going on in Jerusalem and Israel would have been available to such a high official as Daniel. Let's take verses 5 and 6 together. 5 and 6. Quote, "Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude," end quote. Here we see Daniel in complete control of his faculties, knowing exactly what he is doing, as seen in the words, quote, "I lifted up mine eyes and looked," end quote. This idea of control by the prophet is seen also in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32, which reads, quote, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject of the prophets," end quote. So it's not a situation where the prophet Daniel or any prophet is overwhelmed and is totally out of control. Behold, the word behold here seems to indicate a sudden vision. Daniel sees a certain or particular man clothed in white linen, clothed as a spotless priest of the holy temple. Around his waist, he wore a girdle of the finest gold. The waistband indicated the royal rank of prince and attested of the wearer's importance. This person now Daniel has a closer look at. The fantastic description of what Daniel saw tells us that this is indeed, or was, no man. But further reading also tells us that this is not the pre-incarnate Christ either. Because in verse 13 we read that the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood him in his mission. Since the second member of the Trinity outranks all angelic beings, it doesn't follow that he could be inhibited by anyone in the heavenlies. Now, this spirit being is also not named, but he isn't called Gabriel, nor is he called Michael. So, what we have here is a third archangel, previously unknown. According to the description, this man's body was like beryl, or a precious gemstone that is lustrous and in some form semi-transparent. An emerald is an example of this gemstone. Topaz is another well-known one. The color of the, I guess the outward transparent color is not given. Like if his body was a certain color, like, there have been many commentaries and over the centuries that gave suggestions, but probably the best one was that the jewelry color, the semi-transparent coloring, was probably sky blue, which would indicate his origin. Now, that's all theoretical, so that's not in the scripture. Okay, so we have different possible colorations of this gemstone. Daniel now looks above this man's body to his face and can only describe it as bright as lightning. Lightning, when it strikes, has temperatures approaching the heat of the sun and is pure bright white light. There is no mention of heat given off by the being in Daniel's vision. So, the brilliance was produced not by heat, but by internal holiness. Daniel looks into the being's eyes and sees burning fire, which is of a different color and nature than that of lightning. Lamps give off light, and these eyes that Daniel was looking into were fiery. See Revelation chapter 1, verse 14 for a similar description. Stepping back, perhaps, Daniel could see that this man's arms and feet were of a completely different color and had the appearance of glowing molten brass, or as it's described here in our Bible, as polished brass. See Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 7. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 7, for similar descriptions. This appears as if these were fitted for touching material objects of this world. So his hands, his arms and feet were fitted with this polished brass, that these would be areas that would come in contact with material objects of the world. This fantastic, semi-transparent man spoke to Daniel, and Daniel noticed his voice first, not what he said. His voice is best described as it is described here by the Holy Spirit. His voice was not of a singular person, but that of a great multitude. See also Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24, Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 2, Isaiah chapter 17, verse 12, and Revelation chapter 1, verse 15. The amazing voice caused Daniel not to hear or understand what was said at the very first, as also in verse 9. Before we move on to the next verse, let it be said that even though the word man is used here, it only means in the form of a man. This is not a man who became an angel. This is not a man who became an angel. Men do not become angels in heaven. They remain men, even as seen on the Mount of the Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah were still men even after all those centuries. Now, the reverse is also true. Angels do not become men. Angels do not become men. As some fall into error concerning the sons of God in Genesis chapter 6, proclaiming that fallen angels became human and corrupted the race sexually in Genesis chapter 6. Of course, if that were true, mankind wouldn't have been condemned for the corruption, and the judgment of the flood would have been unjust. It would have been the fallen angels' fault. Verses 7 through 9. Quote, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, in my face toward the ground. End quote. For this, see Acts chapter 9, verse 7. You'll have to do this in your later. Look it up. Acts chapter 9, verse 7. Acts chapter 22, verse 11. For similar in regard to Paul. Daniel alone, by himself, was permitted to see the vision and hear and understand. Those nearby were frightened off by the sound of the voice. The loss of strength by Daniel here can be best described as Daniel fainted. Verses 10 through 14, please. Quote, "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days." End quote. Daniel, who was face down on the ground, was touched by the hand of the angel, which brought him up to his knees. The angel only helped him a little at a time to recover slowly. Now Daniel was given direction to stand up straight, which he did, though trembling. Daniel was told that the angel left on his mission to Daniel the very day that Daniel had begun his prayer and fasting, 21 days previous. It is important to note that the angel said that he came for or on account of Daniel's words. It needs to be emphasized to all that words count in the courtroom of God. He is listening to all that is said. Measure and weigh your words. May they count for truth, for God and His kingdom. Christians flippant in their words are all too often flippant in their prayers. We also should note that the prince that stood before Daniel was stopped or inhibited by another prince the Persian domain. This opposing prince is not named, but we are given the knowledge that there are certain principalities and powers that rule or have dominion over certain areas. This messenger sent from the throne of God was stopped by the opposition. Now, why is that so? Was he not powerful enough to accomplish his mission? The fact was, and remains so today, that angels are empowered by God for only certain tasks. They are commissioned to do certain things, and that is the extent of their authority and power. It took another angel, in this case Michael, to be commissioned to come and help the messenger to Daniel. Michael was empowered to reinforce the mission of this angel and give him success. Having prevailed and overcome the prince of Persia, the angel was then free to come and speak to Daniel. Let it be known that though our prayers may not be answered immediately, sometimes God, nevertheless, is listening and answering us in due time, in due season, according to his will. The latter days refer here to the days of the Messiah in particular, and in this case also refer all the way to the very end, to the what I would consider the very end of the book of Revelation, as seen in chapter 12 of this prophecy. It goes all the way up to the resurrection. That would be considered the latter days, from the days of the Messiah unto the days of the resurrection and the new heaven and earth. All right, let's look at verses 15 through 18. Quote, when he was spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows were turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man. And he strengthened me. End quote. It is through this we see the utter impossibility of any man standing before God in the judgment in his own strength. Daniel, who was a fine man, righteous before men, he is somebody men could look at as being a righteous man. Daniel is here seen unable to stand before those who stand in attendance to God's court. It is only when a man stands in the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone can he stand. Here we see that Daniel is enabled to stand, but not by the strength of his own integrity. It is given to him. Okay, we're going to bring this lesson to a close with verses 19 through 21. Quote, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grisha shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there was none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. End quote. Now, we see that Daniel had been strengthened to hear and understand the message of God. Indeed, all we must needs be strengthened to stand on in God's word and understand it. We are to stand in and on God's word. And he must help us understand it, if we are to understand it indeed. This must come from God and be cherished as one of his great gifts to those who are the heirs of salvation. The earthly political powers correspond to the spiritual. Earthly political powers correspond to the spiritual powers. And likewise, their warfare. So if there's political battles going on, military fighting, there is conflict. Spiritual conflict. We are definitely in a spiritual warfare. The departing angel was to be engaged in further warfare with not only the Persian spiritual princes, but then also the coming Greek principalities. May the sons of God choose to repose quietly in the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91, through it all. Though the world seem to fall apart, we have a firm foundation. And with that, let's close with a word of prayer, please. Bow our hearts. Close our eyes. Okay. Dear gracious Father, we thank thee now for this, thy word. We thank thee now for Daniel and his testimony and you using him to write these words down for us that we might know and understand. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for sending thy Son, because thou hast loved us, to die on the cross for our sins and for our sake, for our benefit. Pray now that you will cause us to be thankful and to use our time wisely for thee, and our strength to be used for thee and thy heavenly kingdom. And we pray now that you'll cause us to rely on thy Holy Spirit to be taught and to be guided. Cause us, Lord, to look to thee for all these things. Indeed, we ask that you'll increase our faith and cause us to prosper in whatsoever we do for thee. For it is in thy name we pray and for thy sake. Amen. Amen.